I received a note just a few moments ago. The Aldridge family would request our prayers. Alyssa and them have gone through COVID, and now some of the other family members are, and they request our prayer on that behalf, on their behalf for COVID. All of us are aware of all that's going on in Maui and want to be in prayer for the individuals there, for the church that's there, and keep that in mind. Secondly, on the screen, not the screen now, but as you were coming in, if you were watching the screen for the announcements that were being made, and also in our bulletin, there is reference to an upcoming convention that's going to be held at the North Boulevard Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And it's called the New Day Conference, and it will be giving us resources in order to build more effective churches. And if you would be interested in that, take a look at those announcements. That's going to be September the 7th through the 9th, again in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And some of the elders are planning on attending, and if any of you have interest in going and would like to go, then look at the information, see the schedule, and we would love to have you to go with us if you would like to. Our reading comes from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. We'll go back to that in just a minute. But I want us to start off with a question. And that question is, how did we get where we are today in our country? What's going on? Most of the time, we point to politicians. Most of the time, we point to those that govern us and that are in politics, and that's where we place the blame. And a lot of it can go there, but a lot of it goes to us as a people, to us in the United States of America. I've been reading a book, and it's a book that was written in the last century. It was a book that was, I think, the last update of it was sometime in 1990 or maybe 1989. But it goes back even earlier than that, and it describes a problem that I think has consumed us, even though it does not necessarily deal with just one specific group. It's a problem that has concealed us. And originally, the whole idea came from a thing that was called power evangelism. And it was a particular denominational group that wanted to engage in power evangelism and the way they went about it. And here's what they did. They determined that they would go to other churches and learn what those churches that were growing, what they were doing in order to grow, in order to learn from them how they were growing and what they were doing in order that they might be able to do the same thing, which sounds like something that could be good and something that could be beneficial. But one of the things that came out of it and one of the things that occurred is that the individuals who went began to focus more on an experience from God than anything else. They began to think and believe that having an experience from God, hearing God's voice, hearing God say something to them, hearing God speak to them, maybe in their heart or in their spirit, but having some kind of experience with God was the most important thing. And it became the thing that they sought after. It became the thing that they looked for. And they moved more and more toward those experiences and having those experiences with God, and however it might be that they would have them. And as they moved more and more toward the experiences of God, they moved further and further away from God's Word, to the point that if they had an experience from God, what they would determine to be a message from God, a message God has laid on their heart, that was contradictory to what the Bible actually said, then they would consider the Bible's message out of date. And they would consider the experience to be God actually talking to them now. and telling them what they needed to know and what they needed to do. And faithfulness to the Word of God became less and less important because the experience became more and more important. And what I felt, or what they felt in their heart, was more important than what God actually said. What they firmly believed in their mind and in their conscience was more to be followed than what God actually said. And so they moved further and further away from God's actual words, considered it more and more out of date as they looked for the new and refreshing messages from God that came to them in their heart by their experiences. Faithfulness. Knowing what God says and believing it. That's what faithfulness is. It's not perfection, but it is striving for perfection. It's impossible to be attained in this life. We beat ourselves up. But really, should we beat ourselves up? If you recognize and realize, I am not what God wants me to be, and it bothers you, you're exactly where God wants you to be. If you are troubled by the things that you see wrong in your life, and you want to make some difference, and you want to change it, you want to be pleasing to God and be more faithful to Him, and yet you see this battle going on inside of you, and that battle disgusts you, you're exactly where you need to be. You're exactly where you ought to be. And there's some things that I wanted us to take a look at this morning to remind us of with regard to our walk with Christ and to what it ought to be like. The word gospel. Word gospel comes from the Greek word euangelion. It means good news. It means good tidings. The good news is about what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. The good tidings are the blessings that come to us through what Jesus Christ has done for us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, read it with me and read it carefully. For I am not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news about Jesus Christ, the good news about what He has done. I am not ashamed of the good news or the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. That message in the Bible, that good news in the Bible about Jesus Christ and what He's done, that is the power of God to salvation. To everyone who believes it, to everyone who has read it, who understands what it's saying, and puts their trust in it, it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes it, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, in the message of the death, burial, and resurrection, in what that death meant for us, what was done for us in that death, the payment for all of our sins, His burial and His resurrection, that is the gospel. And in that death, burial, and resurrection, God's, for in it, the righteousness of God, how to make us righteous, how to make us acceptable to Him, how to make us perfect in His sight. And it's not done by our perfect life. It's done by Jesus' perfect life and the death that He died on the cross. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We believe what He says. We believe what He wrote. We believe what He did, and we live by faith. That is the life. We're not going to read all of this, but I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. And I want you to look at these verses, and so many times, I know I have, and I think a lot of us do. We read this verse, the verses in all of this chapter. You can read through all of chapter 6, and every single one of them can put you on a guilt trip if we don't read them carefully and read what God is actually telling us. We read this, let's just start and let's take a look at it. What I want you to know and what I want you to understand as we go to this is that everything about the gospel, you know from the very beginning of your conversion to Jesus Christ. When you were baptized into Christ, you know the gospel. You know what the gospel is. You know how to tell somebody else about it. You know everything that is vital to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ the moment you become a Christian. Because you have just done it. You have just accepted it. You have just trusted it and gone through a likeness of it. Paul writes that for us in Romans 6. This is what he says. What shall I say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. Okay, how do you read that verse? Does that mean that once I become a Christian, then I am obligated never to sin again? I am never to do anything wrong again. That's not what he's saying. But it's what we're striving for. It's what we want to occur. But it's not what's going to occur. But when we come into Christ, we are not to allow, as he will explain in a moment, it's a little bit different than sometimes the way we read it here. Let's finish the reading and then I'll explain. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that as just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So many times we read those verses and we think, if I am a true Christian, then I've died to sin and I don't sin anymore. That's not what he's saying. If I'm a true Christian, I put my faith in what Christ has done for me in removing my sins and paying for them by his death. Now I am to strive to live as if my sins have been washed away, because they have. I am to strive to live as if sin no longer has control over me, because it doesn't. But I still sin. But I'm not to be dominated by it. I'm not to continually give into it. I am to recognize that my sins have been paid for. And I need to start striving to put those sins away. How long will that take? More than you have life to live. The Apostle Paul will say, I'm not there. He will say near the end of his life, near the end of the time when he was about to die, I have not yet got there. I have not yet attained. But I keep striving. I keep striving to be what God would have me to be. So what do we do in the meantime? Well, 1 John will tell us. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, he says, if you say that you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. But if you acknowledge your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. So whenever we sin, if it bothers us, we're exactly where God wants us to be. If we recognize, I didn't do right there. I didn't do what God would have me to do there. I am exactly where God wants me to be. Then he wants me to acknowledge my sin to him, to acknowledge that I have sinned against him, and ask him to forgive me. And when that occurs, when I acknowledge my sin to him, the Bible tells us he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. And so as you read through Romans 6, you read what Paul is saying to us about the striving that we're going to have for the rest of our life in Christ. All the while knowing and recognizing that in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are washed away. And when new sins come, we recognize it, that we've not done what God would have us to do. We were wrong because we didn't do what God would have us to do. And we acknowledge it to God and ask Him to forgive us, and He forgives us, and we are continually cleansed by His blood in Christ Jesus. You're God's people if you're in Christ. If you've been baptized into Christ, you belong to Him, and your sins are forgiven, and they are washed away. And how do we know this? From some experience that comes to us, or from the Word of God? We know it from the Word of God. We know it because this is exactly what God tells us and exactly what God would have us to be. The gospel, the good news, is what you have understood and accepted from the very beginning of your becoming a Christian. And the gospel is the message that we are to teach to every other person. The very thing we ourselves have done, and know why we've done it and what it means when we have done it, that we are now in Christ and washed by His blood. The Apostle Paul will write that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he writes to them, I made known to you of the very first and most important, the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And we go through a likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection as we commit ourselves to going through a life of struggle to die to ourselves, to be buried with Him, and to walk in a new way of living, which means to walk as His slave, not a slave to our desires, not a slave to our pleasures, even though we're going to commit those things from time to time, and we ask Him to forgive us. We are a slave to Him. We are a slave to what He would have us to be like. This is the gospel. And where do we get it? From the Word of God. From what God has actually told us and what God has actually said. Are you so foolish? Paul will write to the church at Galatia. And he writes this, why? Because the people at Galatia are moving away from what God says through Jesus Christ and going back to the law. Because they've been told by some people that unless you obey the law, you can't be saved. And Paul is saying, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, having begun in the message of Jesus Christ that's given to us in the Word of God, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? It's not about me. It's about trusting Him. Trusting Him and listening to Him. Gospel. Euangelion. Good news. Good tidings. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Well, if they're not seen, how do I know about them? If they're the conviction of things hoped for, where do I get the hope? It's the conviction that I don't see, I haven't experienced it, so how do I know about it? God's Word. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for because God promised them. It's the conviction or the evidence of things that you haven't seen because God promised them. Let me say this. Without faith, believing Him, believing what He said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him, who want to know what He said and want to follow what He said, no matter how old it is. Because it is a book that's been one time for all time written. It is a book that stands forever, and it will never change. And it is the book where God tells us what He's done and what He wants us to do. And it we are to hold to. And so He says this, the book of 2 John, chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. How do I do that? How do I watch myself? What way do I watch myself? How do I get this full reward? Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. Let those words sink in. How many times have you thought? How many times recently has someone told you? How many times recently have you heard someone say, this is the way you ought to think? The Bible is out of date. It doesn't say what we need to hear. If God were here today, he would not be saying the same things that he wrote in that book over 2,000 years ago. It is a book out of date, and we need to catch up with where God is today. Seeking that experience from God, listening to what he says to us in our heart, rather than paying attention to what he said in his word. And hear the warning. Whoever goes ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. But whoever abides in the teaching, whoever abides in what God has said, the same has both the Father and the Son. God gave us everything we need to know through the apostles of Jesus Christ as they gave to us the words of Jesus. And those are the words we hold to. And if we do, it'll change us. It'll change our families. It'll change our church. It'll change our community. It'll change the world if we hold to what he says and not move away from it. Are you in Christ? Have you been baptized into him? Do you need to come home to him? We offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.